If you are a small business owner, I'm sure sometimes you feel like you need a marketing degree just to successfully market your business. I'm here to tell you that is not the case if you use Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning platform has powerful marketing tools to make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more. In just a few clicks, you can launch a campaign that is tailored to your business and goals. Maybe you're launching a new product, or releasing a newsletter, or want to tell your customers about upcoming deals. Constant Contact can help with all of that. This includes email, SMS, social media, and so much more, all designed to be easy so you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track business growth. Plus, Constant Contact's award-winning customer service is there for guidance along the way to help you with things like customer lists, templates, and follow-ups. Get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Drive for Show, DFS for Dough, here on Roto Grinders. Happy to be with you, talking another week of daily fantasy golf. We had a bit of a nonsense team event last week with the Zurich Classic. We've got a little bit of a nonsense week field event this week, but we'll break it down here for you this evening. On a Tuesday night, I am Justin Van Zuiden, STL Cardinals 84. Joined as usual by Mr. Notorious Derek Farnsworth. Noto, what's going on?
Yeah, what's up? Team event. I think it's a good format. I like that, you know, we get these interesting pairings. I just don't think the tour does it very well, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I personally think if they want to lean into it, I think they should do every round alt shot. I don't think, you know, the four ball, everybody, all the good teams are scoring like within two or three shots of each other. It's just, it's not interesting, really. I think if they do four rounds of alt shot, it would be more entertaining, but that's just my opinion. And my lineups were like, I had a couple with a chance, but the weekend was just terrible. I had some Lowry, McIlroy, but not enough. And basically like nobody else that was inside the top like eight I didn't have in my roster. So luckily didn't play a ton last week, and the finish was pretty cool there. But yeah, I don't know. I think it just scrap the four ball and do all shot all four rounds, and I think that would be more engaging. That's just me.
Yeah, four rounds of all shot, shot tracker, most importantly. For whatever reason, they didn't get that going. Pat Mayo actually said, I guess they were testing out shot tracker 2.0. So they didn't want to release that data in case it was really wonky or something.
Yeah. Well, like it usually is, isn't wonky anyway. Like,
and then make it a signature event. So we get like all the big names. I mean, it'd be fun to see, you know, some of the really big names get paired together, Spieth and Thomas, stuff like that. But anyway, I ended up having an outright on Lowry and McIlroy. So I was kind of invested there at the end, but other than that, DFS was pretty bad.
Yeah, not too much else. I don't think we need to look back on that. The cut sweat was pretty entertaining, but it was certainly a week where you didn't want to go heavy with your exposure. A lot of variance, and we could see the same thing again this week with the Byron Nelson weak field, weak course this week. But anything else on the team event that you want to go through before we move it along?
There was like a 5-minute period there where Cochran and Cole made a hole in one. We didn't know who it was. So that was kind of fun. It ended up being Eric Cole, but they almost made the cut. So Cole must have really been playing well.
No credit for his 64-year-old partner or whatever it was playing well there. But yeah, it was certainly, you know, I think that tournament's got some potential, but they need to get more of the big names, maybe tweak the format a little bit. And, you know, it's got some momentum now, right? They've been doing that for about 7 years. So, you know, hopefully they'll lean into that going forward. And if we get some shot tracker next year, that would certainly help the, you know, following experience as well, since you're not getting a ton of the shots on the TV. So let's go ahead and move forward to the Byron Nelson. Used to be the AT&T Byron Nelson. Now it's the CJ Cup Byron Nelson. I'm not really sure why we're smushing this as the CJ Cup. It's throwing me for a loop because that used to be a no-cut event in the fall. Now it's the Byron Nelson with no other differences from the normal Byron Nelson tournament. TPC Craig Ranch will be the host for the fourth time. What do we got for a tournament and course this week?
Yeah, so we got TPC Craig Ranch, par 71, just over 7,400 yards. One of those courses that you would think it was kind of tough on paper. It's pretty long. Fairways are, you know, tree lined. There's water in play on 13 holes, but it does not play very difficult whatsoever. We've even seen years where the gusts have been 25 plus miles per hour and still the winning scores in the mid 20s. So you can expect a lot of birdies this week. As far as the type of golfer you're looking for, I don't really have a strong course fit. I mean, distance certainly helps here, but we've seen short hitters like Cage Lee, you know, win here twice. Good scramblers seem to have a lot of success here, which usually isn't the case at Birdie Fest. I think that might have to do something with the fact that there are three par fives and a drivable par four. So, you know, if you're missing those in two, you're scrambling a lot on those holes. Just basically looking for guys that play well in Texas, guys that play well in the wind, guys that make a lot of birdies. Not overcomplicating things this week. What about you?
Yeah, so this is a course that, you know, tends to not punish wayward shots unless you're finding the water, but doesn't seem like a lot of the water heavy courses out there where you're seeing a whole lot of double bogeys or things like that. So bomber scorer angle for me this week, certainly fine with the guys that can get it from tee to green and give themselves lots of opportunities. Even if they're somewhat bad putters, I'm okay with targeting them this week if they're going to be giving themselves chances on more of the holes. So bomber score angle this week for me. And I think it's a, you know, it's a really interesting week for how to tackle it from a DFS perspective, because this is the first tournament in a couple of months where we've had a super weak field in a full field event. You know, last week was the team event. You can kind of throw that out the window a little bit. This week it's, you know, since we had the Masters and we had the Players and we had a couple elevated events in between there. So we've had pretty strong fields, relatively speaking, for the better part of a couple months. Now you get this event. It's kind of a lull in the schedule coming off the team event of last week that a lot of guys didn't play. You got a lot of guys taking this week off. Will Zalatoris was originally in the field. He withdrew this morning. So that's another name that's out of the picture. And so we've only got two golfers above 10K on DraftKings. First time I can remember that in a long time. And that's just going to gravitate even more ownership towards them because there aren't a lot of guys to pay up for. I know we've had that conversation before, but it's been a little bit. So the problem is that the guys to pay up for are Jordan Spieth and Jason Day, two guys that I usually don't like paying up for. Certainly don't want to play them as 10K plus chalk, but, you know, Spieth in Texas, Jason Day is the defending champ of this event, so maybe we do play one of those guys, or do we just go a little bit more balanced this week? How are you handling the basically non-existent top group?
Yeah, I'm going balanced this week. The number one and two golfers in my model are both in the 9Ks, and Adam Scott, Alex Noren. I think, you know, you get the salary savings there. I don't think there's much of a difference in terms of our expectations of him. I know Jordan Spieth plays well in Texas, but man, his recent form is really bad. He's missed three of his last five cuts, including one at the Masters, which wasn't very good. T39 his last time out at the RBC, which was a no-cut event. So I worry about his game. And then Jason Day, the irons have just been really bad. You know, last time this year when he won this event, the irons were very good. That's kind of why we were targeting him so often last year at this time, but just hasn't been the same with irons, so that worries me too. I mean, I know Australians play well in Texas because of the wind narrative and all that, but give me Adam Scott over both of them. What are you doing?
Yeah, I agree. I think going in the 9Ks makes a lot of sense to start this week. We're on board together with the balanced approach. You know, I'm not playing a struggling Spieth and a struggling Day at heavy ownership just because they're the only guys at the top. Just doesn't make sense to me. And again, if you're following along with the video, we still do have a projection on Will Zalatoris. We've got the projected ownership fixed. We don't have the actual projection fixed. So we'll get that taken care of on our end. Just make sure you exclude him from any roster builds that you do with the little X button on the right there if you are building lineups right now. So I agree with going down into that 8 and 9K range. The problem is, you know, there's not necessarily a ton of plays here. Siwoo Kim is going to be maybe the most popular golfer in the field this week, which is weird to say. A type of course where he tends to play well, but super chalk. Sung J.M. has been like near the bottom in most statistical categories. He did win a tournament, I believe, in South Korea last week. But on the PGA Tour, his numbers this year have been horrible. So I think starting with Adam Scott, who you just mentioned, or even starting with Alex Noren makes some sense. You mentioned that scramblers have tended to play well here. Noren leads the tour in scrambling this year. He's always kind of underappreciated. He's had some good results at this event the past couple of years. So starting with Scott or Noren, or even, you know, down to Minwoo Lee if you're playing the bomber angle, or Benny An, I think you can make a lineup that starts with, say, two of these guys in the low to mid 9Ks, play that balanced build, because as you're going to see, there's not a whole lot to love like under 7K. And I think that's the best approach this week. So Adam Scott, Alex Noren, and Benny An would be the three guys in the 9Ks that interest me the most. I'm fine with Siwoo Kim, but chalky Siwoo Kim worries me. It's like sort of like when you play the chalky value, he's so boom or bust that, I don't know, it just feels like 30%+ Siwoo Kim might be destined to be a ticking time bomb. So I'll let you give some thoughts on him. But Scott, Noren, Benny An for me. What do you like in the 9Ks?
Yeah, I agree 100%. Scott, Noren, if I'm building one lineup, those are the first two in it. I also like Benny An down there at 9,300. But to be fair to Siwoo Kim, he's been much more consistent this year. Hasn't missed a cut. He's only missed one cut since July. And his tee to green numbers have been awesome. If he's just been putting a little bit better, he would have a lot more top 10 finishes. Did finish second year last year to Jason Day. So I do like Siwoo, but again, the ownership's pretty bad. I ended up betting him outright and then probably playing Scott Noren over him in DFS. That's kind of how I'm approaching it. But yeah, interesting to hear Sungjae won last week. Maybe that'll get his confidence going. He just hasn't been very good with the irons, but he did finish T12 at RBC, so maybe it's a good time to buy low on him. I don't have a ton of interest in Minwoo. Just the injury that he smashed his finger, or do you remember what it was?
Yeah, it was a wrist or I can't remember whether it was a hand or just a finger.
Just
a finger, a broken finger, broken index finger. Dropped a dumbbell on it.
Yeah, I can't imagine that helps the golf swing, but I guess can't really hurt. He hasn't been playing all that well this year. And then going down,
he made the cut at the Masters after he did that, and then he shot pretty well on Sunday. So
with Minwoo Lee. If you're playing the bomber angle, I don't mind. He's very hit or miss. So if you do want that upside for tournaments less than 10%, I don't hate it. Then lower 9Ks, I mean, Jaeger's been awesome. I think people are kind of off of him just because he won. And I usually fade guys coming off of their first PGA Tour win for a little while, but he finished T18 RBC. Hoagie's the best iron player in the field. If you want to look at him, he's been red hot with the irons. So yeah, I think there's a lot of good options in the 9Ks.
Yeah, for sure. And you can even, you know, if I start with Scott, Noren, Jaeger, I've still got 72-33 on average. So, I mean, you do have to get maybe a little punty with one play in there if you're starting with all three of those guys. But you can, I mean, it's certainly manageable if you want to play three 9K guys. I'll probably go for two in most of my lineups and then, you know, go down to the 8Ks, like the truly all-out balanced build between, say, 9,500 and 7,500 and just staying in that range, I think, is what makes the most sense to me this week. No real interest in Hoagie or Tom Kim for me at the bottom of that range. Then we go into the 8Ks. Again, if you're playing the bomber angle, Keith Mitchell, basically at the top of this field, off the tee, 14th in his last start, does tend to play better on southern courses. course, that's not really that penalizing for some wayward shots here and there. I think Keith Mitchell, I'm a big fan of Keith Mitchell, but I'm also very selective about when I take him in DFS. This is one of the courses where I will play him. So I like Keith Mitchell at 8,800 this week. Who are you liking in the 8Ks?
I mean, I like everyone in the 9s and nobody in the 8s. I mean, there's a couple guys that are at least interesting. Mackenzie Hughes has been very good ball striking, like relative to his long-term baseline. So he's always been a good scrambler, good short game. Finished T14 here last year. I think he's at least interesting. Not a guy that's ever going to rate out well in models, but 8,600 is not too bad of a price point. If you want to play course history, you got to like K.H. Lee. He's won here twice, T50 last year. Very good on easy courses, very good on all the TPC courses. I don't know what the correlation is there, but he just tends to play them all well. And then Mark Hubbard, I always like Mark Hubbard. I don't think he has a ton of upside, but like a top 30 finish is certainly viable at 8,100.
All right. So yeah, I don't hate Hubbard this week. They made a run at the kind of final few holes last week with Ryan Brehm. Had a chance to pull that out, but couldn't get it done on the final hole. So agree on KH Lee. You know, there's just certain guys that tend to play some of these easier TPC courses well from year to year. So I don't mind that thought at all. And the same goes for at 7,900, Seamus Power. Now, you may remember about like a year ago-ish at this time, Seamus Power turned into basically prime Tiger Woods on some of these easier courses. Maybe it was longer than a year ago. Time goes by so fast. But when you put a weak field in play and an easy course in play, those are the weeks where Seamus Power tends to pop. He's got three good finishes at this event since it moved to this course, which is no surprise to me. We've got him in basically around the single digits in terms of ownership. He did finish T12 his last time out. So I will have an uncomfortable amount of Seamus Power at 7,900. Bo Hostler in Texas at 7,800. You've got Doug Gim in here. So again, continues to fill those balanced builds with some of these guys in the upper 7K range. Power, Gim, Hostler, probably my favorites. What are you looking at in here?
Power's a really tough one because he was like 6K, I don't know, a month ago. And now he's, you know, coming off of a good finish. He is one of those streaky players.
That's
fine.
That's keeping everybody off the scent.
I know. He's just – it's hard because I always just like to trust my model over my gut. But my gut says to play him. Model says not to because it's focused more on the long-term stuff. But, yeah, I like him too. So, that's not bad ownership. And, yeah, three straight top 20s here. So, I'm on board there. Hossler, they say to always play him in Texas, but that has not worked out at all this year. 7,800. I don't mind the price point. My model always loves Doug Gim. He's been pretty bad recently, but did finish top 20 here last year. And then the guy I really like, two of them at 7,500, Justin Lower. Three straight top 30 finishes was T4 at Corrales, and he's made two cuts here. Then our old friend Peter Quest back in the field. He's in because he finished top 10 at Corrales, and you know he made the most of his starts on the PGA Tour last year. He had a bunch of top 10 finishes. Had a top 15 here. He fits the bomber birdie maker that you've been talking about. So I really like him and Justin Lower at 75.
All right. And then a couple other names that have withdrawn. Patrick Rogers, he's 8,400. Don't play him this week. Charlie Hoffman at 7,300. I'm actually composing a message right now to see if we can get those guys out of the projections just to make sure they're not popping in anybody's lineups. And so you can build a, you know, balanced build where you kind of end with guys in this range. I'll let you start going down to the middle and bottom part of the 7K range before I forget to finish this message. And then I'll chime in after you.
All right. So in tournaments, my favorite option is Taylor Pendrith. There's not a lot of his recent play that suggests he's a good play, but he's actually second in the field and strokes gained on easy courses. And then if you zoom out a little bit, he's finished top 15 in six of his last 14 starts. It was T11 in Corrales. And he's one of those guys, another bomber that can make a lot of birdies. We have him at 5% ownership right now. I like that number quite a bit. I bet him at 100 to 1. So Taylor Pendrith's going to be my favorite. For cash games, I like Nate Lashley. He is above field average in every strokes game category this season and back-to-back top 25s at this event. So I think he makes a lot of sense. And then there's not a lot that I love in the rest of the range. I'm hoping you can help me out there.
Yeah, it starts to get a little ugly for sure. And I apologize since I was multitasking there and sending a message if I repeat anybody that you also mentioned in that discussion there. But Peter Quest is a guy I like a lot. Back-to-back top 10s. Again, another bomber, tends to thrive on easier courses. We haven't seen him a ton because there's been so many like elevated events and stuff in recent weeks. But I think this is a nice landing spot for him. Really like him for tournaments. I know you mentioned Lower. I like him as well. Grayson Sig, another guy maybe you can toss in there. Maddie Schmid was a pretty popular punt play last week. I forget who he was paired with. He was coming off a pretty good finish at the Corrales and was, you know, in the 6Ks, I think, with his partner last week. They missed the cut, so nobody's going to be playing him at 7,200 this week. Bramlett, if you're playing the bomber angle at 7,200 as well, I think is fine. And a guy who's played well in this area in the past, you asked me a few weeks ago, any interest in Ryan Palmer this week?
Ryan Palmer. Where did he play well? Or you say he played here? He plays here well?
I'd have to pull up his course history here, but just generally on some of these Texas tracks, I know he's done well in the past.
I thought you were saying he's played well recently. I was like,
Oh no, definitely not recently either. Just in this area or.
He's got back-to-back top 10s here. So he does have that going for him.
I thought I saw that earlier today, but I kind of just dismissed him anyway. So
maybe we got to get rid of the fade Palmer on courses with a lot of water.
This course is, it's kind of just fake water.
What about my boy Toasty? This feels like a good track for him.
Might as well throw some. I think you can throw some darts down here this week. I mean, it's one of those tournaments that the field is so weak that ownership kind of condenses because people are afraid to make mistakes and be, you know, you don't want to roster the one guy that goes out on this easy course and shoots plus five. But I think you can take some shots. I mean, you don't want to be playing everybody down here, but yeah, Toasty, I don't mind. You know, there's not a whole lot in the 6Ks. Chandler Phillips, I think, is somewhat interesting. You know, you're just kind of maybe seeking a guy that might have some upside. I'm not the Cam Champ truther. Some people might try to play the bomber angle to look at him, but I'm probably not doing that. I'd probably stick to somebody like Joel Damon, or at least somebody with a little bit more, you know, better recent form. Silverman's a guy. I played him a little bit last week. But again, you don't want to get part of the benefit of the balanced build is that you don't have to go super deep into the 6Ks this week. You can really stick with that kind of mid 7Ks as your low point. But who else you like and me can have free reign at this point?
Yeah, I agree on the balanced build just because you don't have to go down here. But I don't mind Johnny Vegas. We have a 1% ownership coming off of a T23 in Corrales. He's a bomber. He's made both of his cuts here with the top 10. I like Vincent Norman. He's another one of those guys that tends to feast on easy tracks and longer tracks. And this is one of them. He was T8 here last year. The model likes Jimmy Stanger. I still don't know a lot about him. The sample size is very small, but he is third in this field in birdie or better rate over the last 3 months. So if you want to give him a look at 6,900, I don't hate that. And see if there's anyone else. Data Golf has Aaron Baddeley as the best course fit of anyone in the field, which I thought was interesting.
That seems very random.
It seems very random. I'm not sure what went into that metric, but he was T23 here last year. He's been playing a little bit better this year. Martin Laird's quietly made 5 straight cuts. 6,800.
I don't hate that. I don't mind Martin Laird. Party Marty.
Yeah, it's slim pickings down here, but yeah.
Not playing him this week, but did you see that Wesley Bryan finished second at the Corrales a few weeks ago?
Oh, yeah. You know, I did. I subscribed to his YouTube channel with his brother, and his brother's got into the Myrtle Beach tournament that's coming up. They did that YouTube qualifier, and he All he needed to do was par his last hole. It was par five. He was greenside. He chipped it over the green into the water, ended up making a bogey, losing in the playoff, but then they still gave him a spot anyway.
Close enough. Close enough.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, there's not a whole lot else down here. You don't want to mess super deep into the 6Ks this week, for sure. So let me make sure. I did not check before the show this time. Last week, we didn't have snake drafts. We do have snake drafts available this week. We're not going to get super crazy with it because, A, I know this is a busy time where we might not have as many people checking us out live, but if you are checking us out live, be sure to hit that thumbs up button. We do appreciate that very much. Like and subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you're not watching on YouTube, you can go over and hit that like button anytime. We appreciate however you are consuming the show, but we might not have as many people watching live. I know on the sports calendar, it's a night with the full MLB slate. We've got NHL playoffs. We got NBA playoffs, but some of you regulars, maybe some of you watching for the first time, we do a little snake draft on DraftKings at the end of the show.